The Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast might be waterlogged based on the torrential downpours the Dallas-Fort Worth area got last weekend, but don't mind the mess. Avi, Matt, and Corbett ring out the rain and slog along to give you a complete rundown of Week 9. Defending state champ Cedar Hill run past DeSoto and look likely for another state title run. Defending state champs Ennis put their playoff hopes on the line after losing a coin flip for a district game. And Summit stymies a now pass-dependent Lancaster. We also preview what looks to be an equally stormy Week 10 with Summit and Lake Ridge at the top of the agenda. We've got all that and more coming up on the podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast. It's exciting times. I just put up some playoff scenarios for 6A. 5A will be coming. This is Corbett Smith.
Bless your heart for that.
Staff writer of the Dallas Morning News. We got a three-man pod today. Matt Wixon, hello.
Hello.
And Avi Azalin. What's up, Avi?
Nothing much, Corbett. I had a great weekend. How was yours?
It was all right. I'm in the process of trying to buy a house.
So
Was a housing inspection, so that's always fun.
You're far along.
Yeah, we're pretty quick. We're trying to drop the hammer on this.
Property values just keep going up.
You have to move quickly in this market.
You've got to move quickly, and we want to get
mortgages.
In before. Yeah, there's nothing fun about
especially
it.
Especially you guys are looking at like what one of the penthouses downtown.
Yeah, we're actually it's either there or it's in Preston Hollow.
Right.
We're looking at Troy Aikman's old house. So it's journalism money, man. That goes a long ways.
It does.
Long run. Okay. Well, exciting week. In Week 9, not necessarily because of the product on the field. And I think you could say that the product was pretty sloppy. And there was a good reason. Big Stroms, lightning and thunders.
It was
and,
pretty fun.
And rain.
Pretty funny.
Unfortunately, it went Thursday and Friday and parts of Saturday, although the teams that played late Saturday kind of got a little bit of a respite from it. But I don't think anybody played what they would consider to be a clean game. There is even a game that was pushed all the way back to Monday, and that's Corsicana and Tyler John Tyler, which means that affects this week's schedule. Corsicana is actually having to play on Saturday at Lufkin, so that might make travel a little bit easier for them and their fans, but certainly a little bit of a weird setup.
Quick turnaround.
I was at a number of different venues. On Friday night, I went to J.J. Pierce and Lake Highlands just because it was a game that looked like it was going to get in, and they only had one rain delay, slammed it in there. But then midway through the third quarter, Lake Highlands is running away with it, and then they get a lightning delay, and they're like, let's finish this.
Yes, so they just finish him.
They just called it at that juncture.
Right.
Matt, you were at a couple of games, or at least one game,
right,
that was really affected by
it. Was about the length of a couple of games.
And that was the spotlight game.
Yeah, Cedar Hill and DeSoto, they tried to move it forward. Well, they did move it forward.
Yeah, to 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. And
when did it finish? It still finished like at 9:30, right?
Yeah, something like that. 9:30, I would say. And the players were out there warming up and everything, and really until about a quarter to 5, the weather, it was raining lightly and everything, but I was like, oh, we're going to get it in. And you knew it was going to happen. 15 minutes. I mean, they were basically ready to kick off. Sorry, everybody, clear the area. And then there was a lot of rain, a lot of lightning, and we didn't start. So that was supposed to be 5 o'clock. We didn't get going until 6:20.
I was headed that direction. I was excited to go see that game. And then Scott Bell, our editor, said, oh, you've seen that game's been delayed, right? And I was like, yeah, I guess I won't head that direction.
Yeah.
Just trying to find something else. We had just a ton of different types of rain delays. The North Forney West Mesquite game, I believe, that was actually
power outage.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit later about the crazy shenanigans that was Ennis and Lufkin. That was some serious
heads.
Serious eyebrow raising from the Texas football community. And let's run through 6A real quick. Game against DeSoto and Cedar Hill, I thought it was going to be really competitive. DeSoto,
it always is, but
DeSoto could not get anything done on the ground. And when it's raining like that, you're not going to be able to throw, great.
Right.
Although Tristan Wallace did throw for almost 200 yards. But
threw a lot.
Yeah.
They hit a lot of attempts.
But the only points that they scored was on a
return of
a PAT muff. They have three turnovers, and Avery Davis and company do it on the ground. Avery Davis rushes for 98 yards, Marquise Foreman, 95, Kagan Williams, 94, as they just cruise to a 26-2 victory. And I bumped Cedar Hill all the way up to number two in my state poll because of it, because that's a DeSoto team that really challenged Cibolo Steel early in the season. What were your takeaways from that game?
Well, the number one thing being, I think Cedar Hill's defense, who is often undervalued because they have so many offensive weapons.
Right.
They've been good all year, and they were again in that game. Obviously, they didn't even give up the 2 points. It was on that return. I was further bolstered in my belief that Cedar Hill is, I mean, they're as good as they have been over the last few years.
Which is just amazing.
Because there's such turnover in that team.
They lost so many guys to FBS colleges and to Division II college. I mean, they lost guys that, at every level, all across the board, going to colleges that were big-time players.
Yeah, and that being said, when we go flip the other side of the coin, nothing against Ennis here, DeSoto, they now dropped to 3-5. And entering that game, I had played them up a lot, and I think rightly so, because those four losses, IMG Academy, Cibolo Steel, Arlington Martin, and Mansfield, those are all teams either in the top 10 nationally, state, or area.
But nothing changes in that regard. They just got beat by Cedar Hill, another team that's in that mix.
But after watching DeSoto another week, and it's hard because the weather conditions were pretty atrocious out there.
Right.
But one of the things that stood out to me is that they just couldn't run the ball against Cedar Hill. And I went back and I looked at, what they did last year. And they haven't run the ball terribly this year, but here's a little stat for you. So last year they averaged about 300 yards rushing per game. Very solid.
And last year they had stupid depth at running back, and then it got cut, and it was Larry Nixon, the Larry Nixon show, and he was a phenomenal back.
He was great.
Them. Yeah.
He was so tough and not a big guy. But anyways, going to this year. So they averaged about 300 yards rushing last year. This year they're averaging about 250. That's not bad at all.
No.
Okay, so in their three wins, they're averaging 366 yards rushing, including 440 in that blowout over Grand Prairie. In their five losses, they're averaging 168 yards rushing. In fact, in three of those games, they had 133, 133, and 107. And the thing is with DeSoto, their offense has been so fantastic over the years, and we've seen them throw the ball and do lots of great things that way. But I think the thing that has just destroyed people, their opponents, so many times, is that they can just run it. And they haven't been able to do that consistently this year. And it was true against Cibolo Steel. That was one of those games. I think they had 206 yards. That's a great opponent. But they couldn't run it against Arlington Martin in that season opener. They couldn't run it against Cedar Hill. And they couldn't run it against Mansfield in that other loss, district loss they had. And I think that has really been their Achilles heel.
That and turnovers. Turnovers have been knocked hard on turnovers. When you look at the other big game in that district, that's Mansfield and South Grand Prairie. A lot of playoff implications in that one. And Mansfield, they get it done.
Mm-hmm.
End up winning 28-25. Kennedy Brooks, who's just a hoss, he rushes 37 times for 326 and three touchdowns. He scores the game winner, a 48-yard touchdown with about 4.5 to go in that game. Greg Eisworth actually left that game right before a rain delay, a little before halftime, and did not return. And that would be a major blow if he is out for an extended period of time. But Mansfield, with the win, they now have a shot at winning the district title. They're sitting there unbeaten in district play. And South Grand Prairie, they have yet to clinch a playoff spot. That was a clincher for Mansfield. The DeSoto loss now this week that's a must-win game for them.
Yeah.
Against, I think they're going to be heavily favored against Middle Lothian, but you don't necessarily think about DeSoto in late season having to win a district ball game to just make the playoffs.
To secure a spot.
Yeah. Euless Trinity and Coppell, another big marquee matchup. And that was all Euless Trinity. If you needed to see how dominant they were, I think Jayron Wilson rushing for 344 and five touchdowns will let you know what's up. That was 49-14. Euless Trinity improves to 9-0.
Well, the conditions certainly played in their favor. And also, I think Trinity was extremely focused for this game. I mean, Coppell gave Carroll a really tough game, and then Carroll gave Trinity a tough game. So Trinity knew they would have to be up for this. They knew what to expect, and they played great.
South Lake Carroll with a big win over Colleyville Heritage. That was a game that had some playoff implications as well. And, you know, nice game for LJ, LJ Humphrey.
That's what we're going with now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'll go with. I always have a problem with Lil, but I'll call him LJ. In our probably most heavily read district, that's 6-6A, some games of some serious note. Plano East.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping them alive. Avi?
Beating Louisville.
Yeah,
that was good for them. I mean, you're finally, I would say probably a week or 2 weeks ago, it was such a jumble in the middle of that district, and you're really starting to see that logjam again. But I think Plano East taking care of business against Louisville was a clear indicator that, you know, that's a playoff team.
Yep. Although there's some shenanigans there, because there's a couple of games with real big implications. They play Hebron this week.
And right. Hebron got a big
and
win.
And Hebron got a real big
yep.
win this
Hebron,
past week.
Hebron beats Plano West, bouncing Plano West out of the playoffs, 31-13. But that keeps their playoff hopes alive. They're now 3-3. East is now 4-2. Louisville falls to 3-3 in district play. And the other team that's sitting around there is McKinney Boyd. They're now 3-3 with a loss to Flower Mound Marcus. Flower Mound Marcus secures a playoff berth, 31-9. Nate Hopkins with 142 and two touchdowns in that game. So right now you have Allen and Marcus have both clinched.
Yep.
East is in good position, but this is really another must-win game for them, just like last week was, because they've got that loss against Boyd that
right.
is just sitting out there would really kind of impact them. In any playoff tiebreakers. And then, you know, Boyd, I believe Boyd and Hebron play each other. There's some sort of thing where I know that East plays Hebron this week, but there are impactful games this week and next week mm-hmm. in that district race. So stay tuned for that. Denton Guyer, what do we make of him? I know they were without Sean Robinson, which is big, but they lost with Sean Robinson.
Right.
He was out with illness. They were missing a couple of starters on defense, and they just barely.
I think you got to consider Guyer one of the biggest disappointments of the season so far. I mean, the record doesn't really show it, but just I remember back to week one where it was like, oh, this is a team that could give Allen a run for its money. You know, if any team does throughout the course of the regular season, like, this is going to be a really good matchup. And now looking back, I mean, Guyer's borderline a top 10 team in 6A, I think, in our area.
They end up winning 12-10 on a last-second field goal. Switch field goal kickers. Bryson Casimir hits it this week. Different kicker missed it last week.
11 a.m. Good old start.
Yeah,
weird, because that was an 11 a.m. start on Friday after a Thursday night game gets postponed.
Yeah.
I'm sure the stands were packed for that game.
The winner, though, from this past week for latest end was Justin Northwest. Finished that one up. Ooh, it was the next day. They played into Saturday night. That was fun.
That district is crazy. We'll talk about that a little bit in part two. There's no part three today, because part two, we're not talking to coaches. We're
so
just
you
doing...
can't say part three today?
I can say part two.
Not as good. Not as good.
Yeah, we'll talk about that playoff scenario. Hat tip to Luke Stillwell, JV starter last week. Comes in, gets his first varsity start, gets the win. Throws for 174 and rushes for 106 for Guyer.
Nice debut.
Guyer has had a run of, you know, just really standout quarterbacks. Little bit craziness in 4-6A as well. Arlington Bowie rallies from 22 points down in the fourth quarter to win
Woo!
Against Arlington 42-41.
That was a doozy.
Arlington with a win would have clinched a playoff berth. Now their playoff hopes really are up in the air.
Right.
Weatherford is still in the mix. You've got to
best inflatables.
What, that big old kangaroo that
looks
like
I really enjoyed that.
Looks like it's a constipated kangaroo. Yeah, not a real big fan of the squatting mascot while you run
well,
through
if it
his
was
legs.
Standing tall,
Creek
it would probably
too.
Yeah, it's too
the
big.
Horse.
Yeah, well, Nimitz has one where it's the Viking, but it looks like he's, you know, relieving himself in the forest.
And here come the players.
So Weatherford, Weldon Elms comes from Wimberley. I mean, he's done a great job there. They're actually now 5-3 on the season. They're guaranteed a 500 season. Then 3-2 in district play. They've got a game against Bowie. in the last week of the season that they'll have to win to get in the playoffs. It'll be very tough for them to do that, but they're still in the mix right now. So stay tuned in that. You still got Lamar and Martin just kind of rolling away
solid
with it.
Solid up top.
A big game as far as playoff implications and district title implications in 11-6A. That's Rockwall and Rowlett. I thought this game was going to be real close, but Rockwall, according to Rodney Webb, this is as proud as he's been of any team on Twitter. He tweeted that. Really impressive performance. Caleb Roach rushes for 218 and 3 touchdowns. Sam Crawford with 106 in the air and a score. And they win 45-27. Where do you guys rank Rockwall? They made a jump up into our polls. I think there might be a top 10 team now in the area polls. I don't know where to rank them because, you know, they had some early season disappointments. They've really played well in that district, but historically that district hasn't necessarily had teams that have made long playoff runs.
They're a hard team to judge. I think they're a solid team. They certainly are worthy and will be in the playoffs. They're at the top of that district. Hard to figure, though. Real tough early season. Lost to Denton Ryan, really good team. Lost to Trinity, really good team. Lost to Mesquite Horn, which has been
right.
Certainly competitive, but and that was a close game. And then they've just turned it on in that district. And like you said, how good is that district? I think Rowlett is a good team that they just won. That was an impressive victory.
Right.
But it's going to be hard to tell until we get to the playoffs. The one thing with Rockwall, we've known over recent years, they're going to score a lot of points. They're probably going to give up a lot of points. And then you just kind of see it's going to be exciting. If you want to go see an entertaining game, go watch Rockwall.
I think the schedule worked out well for them in the playoffs because their last game of the season is against Garland, at Garland, and that's going to be a huge test for Rockwall.
Yep.
And being able to face those guys and then come into the playoffs, I think really gives you a nice springboard to gauge where your abilities are at.
Garland with a nice win over Lakeview Centennial, 42-28. You talk about a team that has really kind of revolutionized what they do. They used to just run the ball. Jacoby Williams throws for 403 and 3 scores.
He just keeps breaking his own records now for the school. Yeah.
Corey Compton with another performance that was just outlandish. He's been one of the area's best receivers. 10 catches, 170 yards. Just an impressive performance there. More 6A scores. Skyline over Irving MacArthur. That was no surprise. Jesuit over W.T. White. But those look like the teams that W.T. White and Nimitz are going to be battling for that final spot. But those other three look secure. North Mesquite with a very impressive win over Mesquite Horn. And we're kind of seeing, would they kind of lose some steam after falling to Highland Park in a heartbreaker? But no.
I think that is the breakthrough win of Mike Robinson's time at North Mesquite. I mean, they've had some good wins, but this is the one that they still have two more games, and they certainly can't lose out and get in the playoffs. It's not totally secure yet.
No, but
that
close.
That opened the door.
And they won 20-7.
Nice win.
Yeah,
nice win. Jaquez Gooch with a good.
They ran
there.
The ball, and they do it. They run the ball well every week, and it was a perfect night for that.
Gene DeLance, one of the best tackles prospects in the nation, and everybody's certainly looking out for him. Highland Park with a nice win over Mesquite, 35-14. They're looking like they're going to be clinching the district title. Bless you, Avi. And then you've got Lake Highlands and Pierce, the game that I was at. Lake Highlands they just ran the ball at will. Looked very impressive. And they're 4-4, but just a win or a loss from Mesquite away from making the playoffs. Let's talk about this Lufkin and Ennis setup. They get off the bus after a long trip to Ennis. Supposedly it took them 6 hours or something like that to get there. And then delay. Ennis coach Jack Alvarez just decides that they're going to decide this via coin flip. I guess both coaches agree to it. He said that he felt lucky because he lost the pregame coin flip. So he was bound.
The odds were
in his favor. They lose that, and that's a big loss because that probably in tiebreakers means that it's max points loss since it's a forfeit. In the scorebook, it's just 2-0. But that puts them at 3-2 in a district that has John Tyler's unbeaten. We'll see what they do tonight against Corsicana. Corsicana's 3-1. Now Lufkin's 4-2. There's some teams that they could actually miss the playoffs because they flipped a coin. It seems pretty unlikely, but it could happen.
Right. Well, it's a really difficult situation. How many people emailed me and tweeted to me saying, why would Ennis do this? And, on the face of it, number one, Yeah, I think if I was the Lufkin coach, I would be much quicker to agree to it. I'm playing on the road. My kids are probably exhausted from this trip. We don't want to come back on Saturday. We don't want to play on Monday. So, you know, if you basically the Ennis kind of had him over a barrel in that way. On the other hand, I do know from the rains that Corsicana Ennis area down there was hit harder, far worse than anywhere else.
Right, which is why Corsicana is playing today as opposed to playing on Saturday.
So it's hard to say. I mean, could they?
But here's the thing that I was surprised was in their bylaws in a district like that. Some of them write if we can't finish a game at the stadium that we're at, and we have to make a long drive back home, we're not coming back. You're coming to us. So instead of them having to make a hotel stay, emergency hotel stay to find, you know, 40 rooms in Ennis, which is impossible.
Log cabin.
Instead, you go back home and that other team follows you the following day or whenever that is.
If that was the case, then yes, it's a very different situation.
I don't know if their district bylaws have that, but it's certainly something that those districts where they have large expanses, it's something that is fairly common. But I was surprised that Jack Alvarez would do that. I know he's got a lot of confidence in his kids and his team. Certainly, you know, they've played well this year. Although, you know, now they're 4-4. You know, overall, but it's certainly a dangerous 4-4 team.
And Coach Alvarez said, I never want to have to do this again. I mean, he was not, you know, obviously it was after he lost the toss.
They're very hot and understandably so that the UIL stuck them in that district, which is an onerous district for travel when you have to travel to Nacogdoches and have to travel to Lufkin. For football games. Those places are a long ways from Ennis.
Yeah.
12-5A, a district that has a lot of stuff going on there. Forney and Rockwall Heath potentially playing for the last playoff spot in that district, and Rockwall Heath 21-14. Royce City is still a player in this, even though they lose to Terrell.
Royce City's been hanging in with a lot of people this year.
They have. Royce City and Forney are, I think, a lot better than what the average fan would realize. They've had some competitive results.
DeWanya Tucker ran for 390 yards this week.
And, you know, it's just one of those
390
things.
Yards.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, you look at what the top area running backs were. This was the week to just hand them the ball.
It really was
300 yard games from Eno Benjamin.
Seven different running backs at over 300 yards. And the funny thing is, this is a great little story. So every week I do top performers, which is compiles, you know, rushing, receiving, and passing. I usually try to do top 10 for each. I couldn't really do top 10 for receivers and passers. I ended up with like top 5, and then the rushers were like,
I had 3 catches for 62 yards.
Right.
Number top one. Performer.
Yeah, no, I had to set a benchmark of like 300 yards, and it was like, okay, if you went above 300 yards passing, you got on the list.
Oh, there's probably very few people.
4 people in the entire area threw for over 300 yards.
And probably 2 of them played at AT&T Stadium.
Meanwhile, the lowest amount that I included for rushers was 181. That was the lowest, and that was over at Frisco, which, you know, we'll talk about their one later. But
yep.
it was a crazy week for rusher Giovanni Manning, 387 for North Dallas in
Yikes.
A loss.
Oh lordy,
4 Bless touchdowns. Him. He's like, man, what else do you want me to do?
What else can I do? Poteet with a win over South Garland sets up a real nice potential matchup between Terrell and Poteet, unbeaten at top of that district. Frisco's district. Crazy shenanigans.
Oh, man.
Lone Star and Frisco. Jason Shelley has a pretty decent night throwing the ball on Friday night, which was, you know, a sloppy track. He throws for 170, rushes for 71, but Idris Ali, he rushes for 181 and 2 scores. And Frisco with the, wouldn't say upset win, but, you know, nice win, 29-12 over Lone Star, giving them their first loss of the year. I kept saying 4 decades, and people are coming back to me saying, no, it'll be they were trying to be the 4th team in 4 decades. I'm like, a decade is 10 years, not like the 2000s or the 1973 was the last time that Frisco did it. And then there had been 2 teams recently, which was more than 40 years ago, which is all I was trying to get at in that statement. Wakeland with a win over Heritage, although Heritage played crazy crazy good, 49-40. Wakeland, Jay Orjai, however you say your name, Jay. I haven't yet talked to Marty Secord about that, but we'll say Orjai. 280, four touchdowns. Kenya and Wongwu had a big game for Heritage. Yeah, tough year for Heritage in games that they've been really competitive for most of the season, but haven't been able to stop anybody.
I think the district is up. That district is up this year.
I think you're right.
Because I think a lot of Lone Star and obviously Frisco just beat them. So.
Lone Star, Frisco, and Wakeland all now sitting with one loss in that district. But this district is a lot less crowded at the top. Remember last year it was a crazy crazy scenarios.
The playoff
scenarios are
much more simple.
There really is only one playoff scenario this week. The Colony's on a bye week. They beat Little Elm, but it's Centennial having to really hustle to beat Liberty 31-28.
OT, right?
I don't know if this is OT. Yeah, it was OT because Reggie Hubbard from Liberty scored. No, this was not OT.
Sorry.
Reggie Hubbard from Liberty scored with 22 seconds to go to cut it to 3, and they did not recover the onside kick. Anthony Pegues rushes for 350 and 3 scores. Pegues is just a boss.
Good.
Yeah.
He said that's a school record, so you'll have to.
I believe him.
Take his word for it.
So Centennial now is at 4-2. The Colony is at 4-3, and they both play each other in the final week of the regular season to potentially decide that fourth playoff spot. Lovejoy with a nice win over Prosper in 10-5A, but that was a dramatic win. Bowman Sales, he throws for 259 in the slop on Friday. But they need an Austin Henning 29-yard field goal with a minute and 12 seconds to go to win the game 31-28. And that puts them in the playoffs. McKinney North, that's a tough loss.
Tough one.
Yeah, in Denison, 52-49. Christian Files throws for almost 400 yards in a loss. Hunter Wagner, the opposing quarterback for Denison, almost throws for 300 and 3 scores. So right there, those are some games that are impactful. A real logjam at the middle of that district, and I have yet to figure out exactly how it all shakes out. But Wiley is also, in the mix. And Prosper and McKinney North and Denison, they're all kind of slugging it out behind Lovejoy and Wiley East. 14-5A, a couple of games that were rained out. But a game that certainly was significant on Saturday, and that is Lancaster and Summit. And Lancaster, I've been praising Ryan Ross and how it's changed their offense. Well, they needed to go back to the old offense and run the ball.
And it did not work.
And they could not do it. They only get 61 yards total offense in a 13-0 loss to Summit. Summit improves to 8-0, and they've just been phenomenal. I bumped them up in my state poll. That's setting up a really nice matchup, Summit and Lake Ridge, potentially for the district title and top seed. And Hatchie, what can you say about Jordan Kitten? He's, he's coming back and
they're
playing
just rolling,
well.
And all they can do is just keep winning and hoping everything works out.
Yeah, and they've got a game against Lancaster coming up. And Jordan Kitten, of course, this was in the confines of AT&T Stadium. He throws for 247 and 3 scores in a 57-20.
Kitten's love AT&T Stadium.
Oh, well, not necessarily his dad from based on some performances, but whatnot. Okay, well, that's it for part one. Part two coming up, we'll talk about the games of the week. Part two. I'm doing that for Avi because part three is not in existence today. Sorry, Coach, we did not schedule. It was a crazy
you could interview
weekend.
Me.
Yeah, I could. Hey, Avi, what's going on?
That's
man?
In
you,
part
you met
four.
You met Michael Gruber.
I did.
Grubes.
Yeah.
Tweet Grubes.
Went to a Stars game over the weekend.
Did you tweet that photo of him?
I did not.
You should because I'm sure you'd pick up like 100 followers. He has
an
amazing amount of followers. People love Grubes, and I love Grubes too. He does the
sound.
He
was super nice. Yeah.
He is a very nice guy.
And
he does
the
sound at Fox Sports Southwest. As well as doing it for the Mavs and the Stars. So, he does.
And it's like an art form. There's
like
a whole Yeah.
He's one of the best in the business.
If you had that job, like, in Miami, like, oh, I just play Pitbull all the time. Like, right. That is my job. Like, I can do this on a playlist. No,
and, like,
not
some
in Dallas.
Sort of whistle sound.
Right. Yeah, no, not in Dallas. There's, like, certain ebb and flow.
Yeah, he does a good job. So,
indeed.
Shout out to Grooves.
Stars.
Hockey. Games of the week. I really like this Mansfield Cedar Hill game, and I'm going to it on Thursday night at Vernon Newsom Stadium. It's going to be Cedar Hill and Mansfield potentially playing for the district title.
And the team that loses plays South Lake Carroll in the
first round of the playoffs. That's right. As well as Cedar Hill's played, I would not count Mansfield out in this game. McKennedy Brooks, I mean, they won last year.
Right.
You know, they beat them by more than 10 points, I believe. They beat them soundly. So, you know, some interesting things going on there. I said a little bit about 5-6A and that it was a crazy district. Nobody has been eliminated from the playoffs. Not a single person.
Whee!
Even teams at 1-4 can still somehow scratch back if things fall their way. You get to see Geyer against a very improved Timber Creek team on Thursday night. That will be an interesting matchup. And you've got Denton Ryan trying to keep their season unbeaten, and Justin Northwest trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. I like Ryan's chances in this one, but they've certainly not blown people out. It's been a defensive, defensive battles all the way through. Rowlett and Garland, Naaman Forest. Rowlett could really position themselves well for the playoffs in that game there in Class 6A. On Friday in Class 6A, you've got Keller and Keller Fossil Ridge, big playoff implications. You've got Arlington and Arlington Martin. Arlington needing to scratch something out. Coppell and Colleyville Heritage, a game that those two teams.
I like that.
Yeah, that's the second tier of teams in that district.
Yep.
Should be an interesting one. I think Jesuit and Irving MacArthur could be interesting. Irving MacArthur is playing a little bit better. When you look,
the Jesuit has been really impressive. They're just very consistent every
Jesuit,
week.
Jesuit, I think, has 5 shutouts this year.
Yeah,
that's amazing considering what they've done in years past, which is just win shootouts.
No, this game's gonna be super interesting because Irving MacArthur has Kane Harden and
Artis Henderson, who's a beast.
Yes, they have a great offense, and so I'm really interested to see who's gonna win between that and Jesuit's defense.
Big playoff implications in this one, and that is McKinney Boyd and Louisville squaring off, and Plano East and Hebron squaring off. And those number 3 and number 4 seeds in that district have yet to be decided. Both of those are featuring teams that are all in the contention for those spots. So you could have some major shakeups.
I think Plano East locks it up if they win.
Yeah, they lock it
That'll
up with
a fifth win.
Right, so. But if they lose, then who's to say?
Right.
There would be some crazy shenanigans there. North Mesquite's got to continue to keep it rolling. They play Lake Highlands. Should be an interesting game. There are good running teams both there. What do you think about that Midlothian-DeSoto game? I think DeSoto is going to win by 3 scores. But, man, they haven't been meeting my expectations so far.
It is interesting,
season.
Just like we were saying earlier, to think that DeSoto is in a situation where it is a must-win if they want to be in the playoffs. But I do pick DeSoto to win fairly handily in that game.
Sachse cannot afford any mistakes against Lakeview Centennial, a team that certainly is more than capable of pulling off an upset there. There's a 3-team logjam right there with Garland, with Tyler Lee, and Sachse. And Sachse could be, just like last year, have a nice record and had a good season, but is sitting out of the playoffs because of that.
They're so talented.
They're
how does that
talented.
Happen? Like
that district is pretty good.
No, good district, but it's like, oh God. I mean, just based on the recruiting rankings. Yeah. Well, it goes to show.
Goes to show you what recruiting rankings means. Yeah. In Class 5A on Thursday night, you got Birdville and Grapevine. Hey, hat tip to Randy Jackson, man. He's got those guys rolling there. I think they're very close to clinching a playoff spot if they haven't already. Frisco and Frisco Wakeland, a monumental tilt for potentially at least a share of the district title there. And, I really like Wakeland's chances. I know Frisco's been playing well, but Wakeland has just been running the ball. You know, it should be a short game.
Right.
So
two
get out there.
Teams.
Yeah, get out there. Now, I've heard a rumor that the weather's bad.
It's supposedly shaping up to be just like last week. I mean,
that is the worst.
The thing is, it's so far out, you can never guess these things in Texas. But I did see one estimate for DFW talking about 5 inches of rain. Mm. But I think that was Saturday and Sunday. Maybe you can get ahead of it on Friday. There are a few teams that have already, at least one game that's moved from Friday to Thursday, trying to get ahead of
it. But, I mean, some of these teams, you know, you can't do it if you moved it to Saturday. I guess you could play Thursday if you played on Saturday. But, yeah, the likelihood of coaches trying to turn a long week into a really short week is just not going to happen. Carrollton Creekview and Woodrow Wilson, that's a district decider there.
Yeah.
Woodrow's played, you know, lights out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think their lone loss is to Seagoville, which is the way that Seagoville played Sauk last week. You know, I thought Sauk was just going to really run up. It was
13-0.
Yeah, I think it was 18-0, but it was low scoring.
It was a good game.
Yeah. So Seagoville, you know, certainly a little bit stronger than what people are thinking.
Dragons.
How about the games in 14-5A?
Mm.
You've got Summit and Lake Ridge, so that's district tilt
district
right there. Yeah. You've got Legacy and Timberview. The loser is done.
Yeah.
The loser in that game is done. Then you've got a Seguin team who's kind of on the ropes and maybe on their way out in Lancaster, you know, coming off of a loss. Lancaster's got to have that game to stay in the title hunt. Those are really good games there. Lindale and Ennis. Lindale's a team with a record that's, you know, around 500. Ennis cannot afford a loss there. Rockwall Heath and Roy City. Roy City could sneak up and, mm-hmm. you know, get them. Heath certainly needs to keep on winning to keep their head above water. And then you got West Mesquite and Forney. The loser of that game is likely out of the playoff hunt. And then Wiley and Lovejoy. Like that game.
Yeah.
Kind of a sleeper pick, you know, for intriguing matchups there. On to 4A and other action. Argyle and Pinkston. Argyle's revving up the machine. Aubrey, who's made it in our rankings, even though they had a really tough start to the year, they face Salina. And Salina is
a really
buzzsaw.
Yeah, end of the year. Or
like,
this week,
I like
anyway.
Matt says, this is going to be really tough. Crandall and Athens should be a good game. Crandall, I'm trying to get them in our rankings, but no one else is following
my
lead.
They did.
Oh, they broke through?
They got
number 10?
Yeah, I believe they got number 10. They're real excited.
And
former Port Neches Groves coach. Sorry.
Good for them.
Jodale Carey.
Probably the best game in the 4A others is Alvarado and Kennedale, and I don't even know if that'll be close. Kennedale has just been phenomenal this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a good one. Pilot Point got to start winning games, and they're, I think, 1-2 in district. And it's a very tough district. They play Pottsboro, who's 8-0 in state ranked. Pottsboro, Julie, who works in editorial, has a couple of nephews. One is the quarterback, and one is going to be the quarterback.
Wow.
There at Pottsboro.
Bias.
So she is rooting for Pottsboro.
She is. She goes to all the Pottsboro games, which is pretty incredible when you leave Dallas Morning News at, you know, 5:30 or whenever she ends up leaving, and she has to drive to Van Alstine or somewhere hither and yon. You have to pack a lunch.
What's Pottsboro's nickname?
I don't know.
Because
they're out of our coverage area, but they are.
I really hope
it's Pottsboro. I think they're the Cardinals.
Oh, man. Such a missed opportunity to be the Potts.
You think a team would be the Potts?
Yeah. Like, have you ever seen? Okay, so there's a minor league baseball team in
Fort Wayne. The Pottsboro Kettles.
Yeah. There's a minor league baseball team in Fort Wayne called the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, and their mascot and their logo is an apple with a pot on its head. And it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So get on that, Pottsboro. Expecting big things.
Yeah. There you go. we should have some SPC playoff games. As far as I can see, there's only a couple on the schedule. Arlington Oak Ridge and ESD are playing on Saturday, and that is an SPC playoff game. Oh, there's obvious showing us the tin caps. You should look that up.
One of the best hats in baseball.
So is the wooden stick sticking through the tin?
Yeah, I mean, whatever, that's Corbett. Why are you trying to make this about science?
I like the actual hats they wear.
It doesn't have
too.
To make sense.
Like,
it's an
awkward
apple wearing a freaking pot on its head. It doesn't have to make any more sense beyond that.
Yeah, but I don't like the idea that you can just poke a hole through that with a, you know, we're as soft as an apple stem.
Don't ever go to Fort Wayne because you will not be welcomed, sir.
I don't really plan on going to Fort Wayne.
Well, now you really won't be welcomed.
Yeah, well, you know, there you go. A game of note, really interesting matchup, and that's Argyle Liberty Christian and Prestonwood Christian in a private school game. And your private school game of the week, barring those SPC playoff games. That is Grapevine Faith Christian and Parish Episcopal.
Oh,
both
yeah. Top two in our small school.
One and two in our small school rankings.
Yep.
Well, that's it for this abbreviated version. Let's say abbreviated. We're
Stay dry, everyone.
Yeah. And we hope that these games they get off on time. You know, and certainly if you do not want to go to games and you say, I don't want to sit in the slop, which a lot of people don't.
Right.
The beta site. Avi.
It's working.
It is working. And they're making improvements by the week. Maybe this week on our main page we'll have records, which they're all 0 and 0.
Yeah.
But they do have things like leaders also. I mean,
it's pretty cool.
It has been making strides, and it looks great on the phone.
The system hated it when we were Friday. I was furiously like rescheduling all these games, and the system's like, come on, bro. What are you doing to me? And then it's like, just to punish you, I'm going to take off records. I'm like, damn you, Beta site.
It looks great on your phone, so make sure you go to beta.sportsdayahs.com, then click on the little bottom part of your phone and tab it to the
add
home screen. Add to home screen.
Yep, add it to your home screen. Yeah, and if you customize it by your team, the logo that shows up on your screen will be the color of your team.
Oh,
super fancy.
That is super fancy. Yeah. I didn't know that. I don't have a favorite yet.
No, I signed up for the journalist team, and it's just gray.
Everybody knows Corbett's in the hole for DeSoto.
Yeah, that's true. I totally am. Okay, well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and subscribe to us on iTunes.